Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I want you to focus your attention at Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. As I continue to preach in your hearing, by the grace of God, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Part 7, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 1141, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1445. Since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus is speaking, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the two earlier services, actually three. But Lord, we thank you for what you did in our hearts and lives during those services. Thank you for what you have done through us. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the privilege to worship you, to serve you, to proclaim and to preach your holy gospel and your holy word. And Lord, we come before your throne of grace. We individually pray and confess our sins, our failures, and our faults that we may have committed since the last time we prayed a few minutes ago, in heart, in attitude, in thought, those inner sins, bitterness, resentment, hatred, racism, pride, arrogancy, all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive. We forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify our wicked flesh within us and hide us behind the cross. Fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit from on high, to preach once again your holy gospel, your holy word. I don't know how you do it every day like you do it, but I thank you for doing it. And I pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit upon the hearts and minds and lives of the people everywhere who are listening and who will listen around the world. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell, the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal, Jezebel and rebelliousness, Sanballat and Tobias and hindrance, out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here and the people out there who have that demonic problem in their lives. Be they saved or lost, Lord, I do not know. Only you know. And Lord, we pray, however, you would chase away those demons who tried to hinder the gospel from going forward. And the devil loves to strike in placid situations because people have their guards down. But Lord, help us to always be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and for we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, so that your gospel can go out clearly and plainly. We pray that lost souls would be saved, that Christians would be revived again. Those of us who name the name of Christ, help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, and back to our first works, as you have commanded us to do. Lord, give us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching of your eternal and holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The devil is a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur said the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is something very serious and irremediable. Irremediable. It not only reflected unbelief, but determined unbelief, that nasty unbelief, that in-your-face unbelief, to the point of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and mocking the truth. The refusal, after having seen all of the evidence necessary and the power thereof, to complete understanding, even to consider believing in Christ, this was blasphemy against Jesus in his deity, against the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who uniquely indwelt and empowered Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ had to say what he said. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Notice that Jesus said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So, my friends, you had better not blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. It's very plain, very clear. Dr. MacArthur continues, it reflected determined rejection of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in him as the Messiah against every evidence and argument. It reflected seeing the truth incarnate and then knowingly rejecting him and the power of God in him and condemning him. It demonstrated an absolute and permanent refusal to believe in Jesus Christ and his power, which resulted in loss of opportunity ever to be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. Through this age, all of human history, such rejection is unforgivable. The age to come implies that through all of eternity, there will be no forgiveness for this, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. In the age of human history and in the age of divine consummation, no forgiveness for the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, do not blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. Do not deny His power. Do not say that Jesus Christ got His power from the devil, when He has proven, and it is proven, His power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, said, "The only sin God cannot forgive is the sin of rejecting Christ. Turn to Him in repentance and faith, and He will forgive you and save you." And of course, He cannot forgive the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, in our first message in this series, we looked at the response to Jesus' healing. We saw that while the common people asked among themselves if Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of David, the Pharisees accused Jesus of gaining His power through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, that is, the devil himself. In our second message, we saw how Jesus showed the absurdity of the Pharisees' accusations. Jesus proved that He was of God and that He possessed the power of the Holy Ghost of God. In our third message, we saw how Jesus showed that the kingdom of God has come by displaying His power over Satan, not by using the demonic spirit of Satan. That's ludicrous, it's absurd, and offensive. Which leads us to our message this morning. But in our fourth message, we looked at how Jesus warned that there is no middle ground in this conflict of the ages between darkness and light, evil and good. Jesus is asking you whether you accept His authority as God and King of the world or not. Or do you want to follow Satan, the devil, Beelzebub? If you do not accept that, then you are working with his enemies, the devil in darkness, whether you believe it or not. Make up your mind what you're going to do, mildew or barbecue. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus is not just another rabbi, prophet, religious leader, or moral teacher. He is not just a person who set a good example. He did that, but He's not just that. He is the sign that the kingdom of God has come upon earth and is in your face, devil and the devil's crowd. If you are not with Jesus, then you are working against Him. You must make a decision about whose side you are on. Make up your mind like Joshua did when he said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." As Elijah said, "Why halt ye between two opinions? Make up your mind. Are you going to serve the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or these dumb idols?" If you are on the side of Satan, then you will be with them in eternity. You will experience an eternity of punishment in hell with them. If you are on the side of King Jesus, he will reward you with an eternity of bliss in heaven with him. You must make a choice. You must make up your mind. Whose side are you on? And so we talked about that last time. And then fourth in this series today, Jesus, and by the way, I'm going to have to break this point down, because this issue has struck fear in the lives of millions for ages. So there's going to be a part two on this one, I believe. Jesus speaks judgment against those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God. In Matthew 12:31-32, Jesus says, "Wherefore I say unto you," that is, you who accuse me of getting my power from the demonic spirit of the devil, of Beelzebub, that what you just saw me do, you are going to attribute that, what the Holy Ghost did, to the spirit of the devil. That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay, so I'm going to have to inform you of something. And here it is. All manner of sin. And I'm going to be as kind as I can be about it. And blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso, even if you speak a word against me, I will forgive you, and God will forgive you. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost and his power and what he does through me, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Lord, have mercy. That's right. Even when I first got saved, that scared me. I said, what is this? I don't want to do that. No sirree. Whatever this is, I don't want to do that. I was saved. I was born again. That's when I started reading the Bible for real and understanding the Bible. This shook me. I didn't know. Whatever this is, I don't want to do that. That's a fact. And this has struck fear in the hearts of millions down through the years. Jesus gives the good news that all sins and blasphemies can be forgiven by God. This is amazing grace, my beloved. This is love for real. You can bank on this. But when he says that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as the old saints in the black church, they always went with the Holy Ghost, you know that, especially on the charismatic side. Yes, yes. They always, Mother Breedlove in them. Mm-hmm. The old saints. I don't know why they, but they always, they could have said Holy Spirit, but they always went with the Holy Ghost. As the Bible does sometimes. Cannot be forgiven when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. You're going too far. You're going too far. This is the unforgivable, the unpardonable sin. Lord, have mercy on your soul. May God help you. That's frightening. I don't care who you is. That is frightening. And whatever it is, don't do it. So what exactly is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? This is the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin. From the time of the church fathers to contemporary Bible scholars, theologians have hotly debated what exactly this sin is. And even if it is possible to still commit it, this sin is only mentioned by Jesus here and in the parallel accounts in the other Gospels. So we need to look back at the context of what the Pharisees said that brought this on. What they said about Jesus that brought this phenomenal, frightening, at the same time, gracious statement on. So look back at verse 24, which says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, the great miracles of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit's power, they said, 'This fellow, which is disrespectful to Jesus as well, this fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.'" Talking about the devil himself. Not just the demons, but the devil himself. He's getting his power, that's what they're saying, from the devil. The enemy of God, the enemy of Christ, the enemy of all that is good. That's deep blasphemy. See, the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus. He was able to do those works by the Spirit of God. So they went past Jesus, if you will, and went to the source of the power. They went into the spiritual world. They knew that the devil could do some things. You remember the magicians during Moses' time and the sorcerers and all of that. But the devil can't do what the Holy Spirit of God can do. So they went into the spiritual realm because that's where the power comes from. To do evil from the power of the devil. To bring evil to pass from the power of the devil. To bring about good, the power of God. The power of the Spirit of God. And so that's what they were talking about. Power. And by the way, I want you to understand that there are people who surround you who have the spirit of the devil in their lives. You understand me? See, this is we're not dealing with flesh and blood. Stop thinking about flesh and blood all the time. It's not about the flesh and blood of the people. It's the devil behind them, and it's the spirit of the devil that brings about the evil that they do. Demonic spirits, you can't see them. That's the danger of them. Some of you can sense, even in your family and in your church, in your ministry, there's just an evil spirit lurking. That's why God told you to pray without ceasing. And the more you pray, the more you'll see it. And the more you'll be on guard against it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know in our little candy cane Christianity today, our prosperity gospel Christianity today, with fake and phony mess and wickedness and sin and evil, that you don't want to hear it. You want to say stupid things like you're giving the devil too much credit. That's dumb. That's a way of trying to dismiss the devil. I'm walking around talking about you have certain kinds of authority over the devil, and the devil is whipping your behind down to the ground in your sin. You can't even get out of fornication and adultery and homosexuality. Talking about you got victory over the devil. You got some kind of power over the devil. You can command the devil to do this and that. You need to shut up and call on God, because only God can help you. In the name of Jesus. You've allowed demons to fill your children's hearts and minds, and you're not praying against it. I'm talking about naming and claiming and all such foolishness. How are you doing with all that, by the way? How are you doing, beloved, with all of that, all of your great powers? You're the head and you're not the tail, and no weapon formed against you shall not prosper. How you doing with all that? Why, where was all that when your marriage fell apart and you're divorced now, and now you're remarrying some joker you don't even know? Jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire because you have been bamboozled and tricked by the devil. The devil is a lie. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus of being empowered by Satan, the devil, his arch enemy. And notice the coolness and calmness of Jesus, and how he had to, let me educate you all, because you don't know what you're talking about, and you're getting your soul in trouble. I'm trying to help you. You're my enemies, and you are blaspheming me, and you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm going to show you some grace here, and let me show you, and let me educate you. Let me inform you about what you're doing, because you don't know what you're doing. You ever been around folks, you just have to tell them you don't know what you're doing. You just don't know what you're doing. Have you ever been around folks like that? And you have to educate them and help them. This is what Jesus was doing. It seems that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is the utter and complete rejection of the power of the Holy Spirit, and then accusing Jesus or anybody else who's doing the Lord's work in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're doing it by the power of Satan. You're trying to take the glory and credit from the Holy Ghost of God and giving it to the evil ghost of the devil. That's what you're doing. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And God and Jesus won't tolerate that. So don't do that. Shut your mouth, as the old folks used to say. You better shut your mouth. Don't put your mouth on the Holy Spirit, man. And complete rejection of the salvation offered through Jesus Christ, through the attribution of the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus to Satan. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Don't do it. And at that point, I have so much more to say. I'm going to leave it there, because I just wanted to make it clear to you what it is, so that you will not do that. And what you need to do, dear friend, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. This may be a three-parter, because I want you to really get this and understand what Jesus Christ is talking about. And to get it better, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, I want you to know the Holy Spirit of God is working on you. Sometimes I feel a little bit strange, funny, when I pray and ask God to have the Holy Spirit of God to work on lost sinners. I feel that way because I know that's what the Holy Spirit is already doing. He's more concerned about souls than I am. He's more concerned about souls being saved than any of us. He's on the job, but I think he lets me get away with it, because we pray everything we pray for, God already knows about it, and God has already got things in motion. But we still should pray. And here's how you can be saved from hell. Allow me to show you how that you can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. And may the Holy Spirit of God help you to understand it and help you to pray the prayer today and be saved. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. We all have. The Pope has, big time. He broke it the other day. The Dalai Lama has. Joel Osteen, he has too. And he'll admit it. He'll say it with a smile, but he'll admit it. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The best person you know, your mother, your father, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, they have all sinned against God. We all have. Let me help you. Have you ever told a lie before? Just nod your head yes. You know you did. You know you have. Have you ever stolen anything before? Regardless of the price now, regardless of the value, I don't care if it costs 2 cents, did you steal it? Did you take it from somebody and it didn't belong to you? I don't care if it was a cookie out of the cookie jar from your mother. I don't care if you stole a dime from your father. You stole it. You broke God's law. Oh, that's not stealing. We're family. Yes, it is. You didn't ask for it. I don't care if you stole something out of the refrigerator that belonged to somebody else. You stole it. You're a thief. Have you ever lusted after somebody and you wanted them so badly, or you lusted after things? You coveted what other people have. Have you ever done that? Have you ever dishonored your parents by having a bad attitude, having a disrespectful attitude in spirit, being rebellious, being stubborn, not honoring them? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Well, if you've done any of those things, if you've just done one, you have broken the entire law of God, because the Bible says if you break one point, you break the whole law. So are you convinced now that you're a sinner? Now, if you're a sinner, now you know that there's punishment coming. So secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You're going to get wages for your sin in this life. You're going to get paid wages, is what I was trying to say, at the end of your life. It's death. We're all going to die. Our bodies are going to go to a funeral home and then to a grave of some kind. It may even be a little box. The soul will go immediately to hell if that soul had never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus told the story about the rich man, Mr. Dives, traditionally called Mr. Dives, that he lifted up his eyes in hell as soon as he died. This is not a parable. This is a true account. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell as I speak. You are on the road to death for sure. If you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not talking about your little membership thing that you had at Mount Shiloh Baptist Church when you were 12 years old, when you was a child, and your grandmother and your mother and your father made you go to church, and they put some money in a handkerchief and told you to put it in the offering form when you got there. We're not talking about your baptismal certificate that you cherish. None of that will save your soul from hell. You say, well, I've gone to church since I was born. My grandmama was a church member. My mama was a church member. My daddy was a church member. They helped build that church. That's where our family goes to church at. That's our home church. Your church membership, your home church membership, your baptismal certificate, none of that will save your soul from hell. Because there are millions of people who have gone to church, never believed on Christ, and went straight to hell. And in hell, they lifted up their eyes, just like the rich man, Mr. Dives, right from the church pews. They were in hell several days before the funeral, because you go to hell immediately upon death if you have never believed truly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Church membership will not save your soul. None of that. Religious work, giving money to the church, raising funds for the church, and cooking for the church, and having the fellowships dinners, putting the fellowship dinners together, all that. That's all good and dandy and wonderful. Singing, shouting in the choir and all of that in the church is all good and dandy, but that cannot and will not save your soul from hell. You say, well, I spoke in tongues. You're going to be speaking in more tongues than that in hell. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing. Are you born again? By their fruits we shall know them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, if you're saved and born again, you're going to be very interested in obeying Jesus and obeying God. If that's not coming up, you probably need to be saved. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any writer, any apostle in the Bible. Jesus Christ, in fact, I believe, has preached more on hell than most living preachers today. Jesus Christ, in fact, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loved us so much, he came and died on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt so that we will not have to go to hell. He was buried and rose on the third day. He did that for you and me. When he was describing hell, he said hell is a place where the worm dieth not, and where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. At another place he said that hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The torment of hell, the darkness of hell, the fire in hell, the pain in hell, and I believe the saddest aspect of hell is that once you go there, you can't get out. It is forever. No purgatory, no in between, no limbo. That is in nobody's Bible in any real sense, not even the Catholic Bible. That all came about in the medieval times from the ideas of some man, no doubt led by a devil. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, notice how earnest Jesus Christ is about this, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Notice what Jesus Christ says here. It's better for you to cut off your hand or your foot, or both, if it's leading you to sin against God and causing you to go to hell. You'd be better off getting saved, believing in Christ, and going to heaven with one foot and one hand than going to hell with two feet and two hands. That's how serious this is. So, dear friend, hell is a real place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. The same hellfire and brimstone preacher Jesus Christ said these loving and wonderful words in John 3:16, basically saying to you and to me that we do not have to go to hell. We ought to go to hell, but we don't have to, because he paid the hell price. He paid our sin debt. Our sin is what causes us to go to hell, along with rejecting Christ. Now, if you reject Christ, you're going to hell, and you're going to pay for your sins yourself. That's just the reality. Nobody's trying to scare you. Scare you where? Hell number one, or hell number two, or hell number three? What are you talking about? I'm just stating biblical facts. You talk about hell all the time, talking about telling people to go to hell and everything else. So don't come with that. These are the greatest words ever spoken by anybody in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said it himself, and he was speaking about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That means that God loves you. How about that? No matter what you have done, no matter who you did it with, God loves you. Accept it. One of the hardest things you will find in life to accept is real, genuine, agape, unconditional love. When people love you unconditionally, that's how God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He is talking about himself, none other than Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God was with us in Jesus Christ on this earth. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, no man involved. Jesus Christ, who turned water into the best fermented, aged wine they ever had in their lives. I don't know. I believe this is the wine that's going to be served in heaven. I don't know. I'm not sure. Jesus Christ, who walked on the water like we walk on the ground. He was able to do that because he made the water. Jesus Christ, who caught in a storm, told the wind to be quiet and the sea to sit down, and they obeyed him. He said, "Peace, be still." Jesus Christ, who took a little boy's lunch and multiplied it a thousands of times over and still had leftovers. Jesus Christ, who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, gave hearing to the deaf, made the dumb speak, and then went to the tomb of Lazarus and others and said, "Come forth." Those who were dead came alive at his word. I think you better get to know him. If I were you, I would do it. I would do it today for sure. You need to get to know him. Emmanuel, God with us. You need God with you now in this time, don't you? You need Jesus. In the words of the songwriter, people need the Lord. That whosoever, here's how you get them. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. White lives matter, black lives matter, blue lives matter. Whoever you think matters, we all matter to God. Amen. Whether you like it or not. All people matter to God. All people matter to God. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in God's sight. Somebody might hate you for your color. Somebody might hate somebody else for their color. But God does not hate you. God loves you. And he wants you to get saved today. And he loves you so much. He gave up his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist told us. He loves you so much, he does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to come to heaven and be with him. Now that's love for you. So if you're anybody, if you are a whosoever, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the next word, believeth. Believeth, that's what Jesus said. Jesus is telling you to believe in him. Believeth means to have faith in him, to trust in him, that's all. Put your faith and trust in him, not yourself, not the Pope, not Buddha, not Muhammad. Not Hare Krishna or anybody else. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And believe in him and you should not perish. That is, you will not go to hell that I told you about earlier. But have everlasting life. That is, you will be with God and Jesus and the angels and the saints of God forever in a place of complete 100% peace, joy, no more shootings, no more raping, no more killing, no more jails, no more prisons, no more marching, no more fighting, no more arguing, over forever in that wonderful place called heaven. Oh, you say, well, that's just going to be heaven with God. And so let me tell you something. Take your greatest pleasure in this life and multiply it a trillion times, and you might just get how wonderful heaven is going to be. If I were you, I wouldn't miss it for the world. You need to get with Emmanuel. You need to get with Jesus. And I mean that. With the quickness, as Bishop Daniel White Jr. used to say. My dad, who's in heaven now. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. And then call on his name, pray, and ask him to save your soul. Seal that deal, and he will do it. According to Romans 10:9-13, that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That means he suffered, he bled, he died, and he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. You shalt be saved today, not tomorrow. You'll be saved today. For whosoever, there's that word whosoever again, whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved. It's a beautiful word. That means you're saved from hell, and you're saved to go to heaven to be with God. It is a free gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to stop by go. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to do the right hand of fellowship. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to raise your hand. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ right where you are. Call on his name. Pray and ask him to save you. Invite him into your heart, and he will come, and he will save your soul from hell and save your soul to heaven. Let's pray. If you don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer, repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart as you believe in your heart in none other than Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, as was brought out earlier. I have done evil in your sight. And I know that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. I invite you and the free gift of salvation into my life. I know that I can't do anything to earn it. Please save my soul from hell. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins past and present. And help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life of righteousness. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried and rose again by the power of God. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, dear friend, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. Download my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It's based upon what Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us and let us know about that as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why.